Hey everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. So today we're diving into something that might sound a little intimidating at first, Chinese Mandarin Pinyin. But don't worry, we've got some great academic articles and blog posts from language experts to help us break it all down. And trust me, you'll see by the end of this deep dive why Pinyin is really the key to unlocking not just the sounds of Mandarin, but the whole beautiful, complex world of the language.
That's right. You know, it's like you ever hear a word in a foreign language and you think, how on earth do they spell that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's where Pinyin comes in for Mandarin. It's like a bridge between the sounds you hear and the way we write them using our Roman alphabet.
So it's not just for beginners, then?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Even fluent speakers use Pinyin all the time.
Yeah.
Especially for typing. Imagine trying to text a friend in Chinese characters. It would be a nightmare. Pinyin makes it possible to communicate quickly and easily in the digital world.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so you've convinced me Pinyin is important, but how does this whole thing actually work?
Well, think of it like musical notation. You know how musical notes tell you the pitch and duration of a sound? Pinyin does the same thing for Mandarin. It breaks down each sound into initials, which are kind of like consonants, and finals, which are like vowels.
Okay.
And then, here's the crucial part. It uses little marks to indicate the tones.
Ah, yes, the infamous tones. I've heard those can be pretty tricky.
They can be. But they're also what gives Mandarin its musicality and expressiveness. Imagine trying to sing a song without any high or low notes. It'd be pretty flat, right?
Yeah.
Tones add that same kind of dimension to spoken Mandarin. And that's actually where a lot of the aha moments happen when you're first learning. Take the word ma, for example.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Depending on the tone, ma can mean mother, horse, hemp, scold, or even just a question particle. It's like how the same note played on different instruments can create totally different moods and textures.
Wow, so one little word can have five different meanings. That's fascinating, but I can see how it could lead to some serious confusion. Is there any way to make remembering the tones easier?
Absolutely. One trick I use is to think of the tones visually. The first tone is high and flat, like you're walking on a plateau. The second tone rises, like you're asking a question. The third tone dips and then rises like you're going over a little hill. And the fourth tone drops sharply, like you're giving a command.
I like that. It makes the tones feel less abstract and more connected to something I can actually picture in my mind.
Exactly. And the more you practice, the more those connections between the sound, the tone, and the meaning will start to just click. It's like learning a new dance move. It might feel awkward at first, but with repetition, it becomes natural and fluid.
So we've got our initials, our finals, and our tone dance moves. How does all of this play out in actual Chinese education?
Here's something you might find surprising. Chinese children actually learn Pinyin before they learn characters.
Really? Wow, I would have thought they'd tackle those intricate characters right from the start.
It might seem counterintuitive, but it's actually a really brilliant strategy. Think about it. When kids are first learning to read in English, we don't throw the entire dictionary at them at once. We start with the alphabet, the building blocks of sound.
Right.
And then gradually build up to words and sentences.
That makes sense. So Pinyin is like the alphabet of Mandarin.
Exactly. It gives children a really solid foundation in the sounds of the language before they even encounter the complexity of characters. It's like building a house. You need a strong foundation before you can start adding walls and a roof.
Okay, I'm starting to see how Pinyin is so much more than just a pronunciation guide. It's really a gateway to understanding the structure of the entire language.
That's exactly right. And the beauty of it is that it's a tool anyone can use, regardless of their age or learning style. It's like having a decoder ring that unlocks the secrets of Mandarin. But we've covered a lot of ground already. Let's pause here and come back in a moment to dive a little deeper into how Pinyin can help us unlock this fascinating world of Chinese characters.
Great idea. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Pinyin. Before the break, we were talking about how Pinyin is like the foundation of a house, giving you a solid base for learning Mandarin. But I'm curious, how does it actually help with those intricate characters that seem so intimidating at first?
Well, it's all about connection. Think of it this way. You hear a new Mandarin word, let's say shu, which means book. Pinyin gives you that written representation of that sound, shu. Now, when you see the character for book, you already have that pronunciation linked in your mind.
So instead of just a random jumble of strokes, it's shu, the thing I just heard. That's pretty clever. Does that work for every character? Pretty much. Chinese characters are often made up of smaller components called radicals. And these radicals can give you clues about the meaning or pronunciation. And guess what? Pinyin helps you connect the sound of the radical to its visual form. So it makes it easier to learn and remember those more complex characters.
It's like Pinyin is giving me a cheat sheet for understanding the characters. But there are thousands of characters, right? Do I really need to memorize the Pinyin for every single one?
Well, that's where it gets even more interesting. You don't necessarily need to memorize the Pinyin for every single character. As you learn more, you start to see patterns and make connections. You might notice that certain radicals often have similar pronunciations, even when they're part of different characters. It's kind of like learning to recognize families of words in English.
So Pinyin helps you break down the characters into smaller, more manageable pieces. It's not about rote memorization. It's about understanding the logic and the structure behind them. That takes some of the pressure off.
Exactly. And as you become more familiar with Pinyin, you'll even find that you can kind of guess the pronunciation of new characters you've never seen before, just based on the radicals they contain. It's like becoming a detective, piecing together clues to solve a linguistic puzzle.
I never thought of it that way. It makes learning characters feel less like a chore and more like an exciting challenge. But let's be honest, there are bound to be some tricky sounds that trip up English speakers, right? What are some of those classic Pinyin pitfalls?
Yeah, one common challenge is distinguishing between sounds like JQX and ZH, tricksh, ni. They're similar, but there are some subtle differences in tongue placement that can be tough to master.
I can imagine.
It's like those optical illusions where you see two different images depending on how you look at them.
Right. Are there any tips for avoiding those pronunciation traps?
Well, the best advice I can give is to listen carefully to native speakers and try to mimic their pronunciation as closely as possible. Pay attention to how they move their tongue and shape their mouth. And don't be afraid to exaggerate the sounds at first. It can actually help you kind of get the hang of the subtle differences.
So it's all about practice and paying attention to the nuances of the sounds.
Exactly. And one thing that can really help is to use a good Pinyin chart. It's a visual representation of all the initials, finals, and tones, which can be super helpful for seeing how the sounds relate to each other. There are also tons of great apps and websites that offer pronunciation drills and interactive exercises. It's like having a personal language coach right there on your phone.
Oh, that's awesome. It sounds like there are plenty of resources out there to help us on our Pinyin journey. But I'm curious, besides those digital tools, are there any offline methods that can be beneficial?
Absolutely. One of the most effective ways to improve your Pinyin pronunciation is to practice reading aloud from Chinese texts. Start with simple children's books or graded readers that use Pinyin alongside the characters.
That's a great idea. It's like training wheels for reading Chinese.
Exactly. It allows you to get comfortable with the sounds of the language and start to build a connection between the written and spoken forms. Another helpful technique is to record yourself speaking and then listen back to identify areas where you can improve. It can be a little bit cringeworthy at first, but it's a really powerful way to become more aware of your own pronunciation habits.
So we've got our digital tools, we've got our offline practice techniques, and a whole new appreciation for the power of Pinyin. But before we wrap things up, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the broader implications of Pinyin. How has it impacted Chinese culture and the way people learn the language?
That's a great question. The introduction of Pinyin in the 1950s was a really revolutionary moment for China. It dramatically increased literacy rates and made it possible for people from all walks of life to learn and communicate in Mandarin. It also played a really crucial role in standardizing pronunciation across different regions of China, which is incredibly diverse linguistically.
Wow. So Pinyin wasn't just about simplifying pronunciation. It was about empowering people and creating a sense of national unity. That's incredible.
Exactly. And it continues to have a profound impact today. Think about the internet and the global interconnectedness we have now. Pinyin makes it possible for people all over the world to access Chinese language resources, to learn about Chinese culture, and to communicate with each other.
It's amazing to think about how one system of romanization has had such a huge ripple effect on the world.
It truly is. It's a testament to the power of language and how tools like Pinyin can break down barriers and connect us in ways we never imagined.
Well, I, for one, feel like I've gained a whole new level of respect for Pinyin and its importance in the grand scheme of things. But I think we've squeezed every last drop of wisdom out of this topic for now. What do you say we take a final break and then come back to summarize our key takeaways and leave our listeners with something to ponder?
Sounds like a plan. We'll be back in a flash.
We're back for the final stretch of our Pinyin deep dive. we've covered a lot of ground, from the nuts and bolts of pronunciation to how pinyin acts as a bridge to understanding Chinese characters. I have to say, I'm starting to see those characters less as these intimidating symbols and more like fascinating puzzles just waiting to be solved.
That's the spirit. And that shift in perspective is exactly what pinyin helps you achieve. You know, it takes the mystery out of those characters and gives you the tools to decode their meaning and pronunciation.
But I'm still kind of curious about how this actually works in practice. Is it just a matter of looking up the pinyin for every new character I encounter?
It can be that at first. But the real magic happens when you start to internalize the connections between the sounds, the visual forms of the characters, and their meanings. Let's go back to that example of shu for book. Remember how I mentioned that characters are often made up of these smaller components called radicals?
Yeah, you said those radicals can give us clues about the meaning or the pronunciation.
Right. So the character for book actually contains a radical that represents speech or spoken words. And guess what? The pinyin for that radical is yan, which has a similar sound to shu.
Wait, so the sound of the radical is actually reflected in the sound of the whole character? That's incredible.
It is. And the more characters you learn, the more you'll start to notice these patterns and connections. It's like learning a secret code that unlocks the entire system of Chinese writing.
So pinyin isn't just a pronunciation guide. It's a tool for understanding the very essence of Chinese characters and how they evolved over time.
Exactly. It helps you appreciate the logic and beauty behind those seemingly complex symbols. And it opens up a whole new dimension of understanding Chinese culture, history, and thought.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. I feel like I've gone from feeling intimidated by Chinese to actually being excited to start learning. What would you say is the most important takeaway for our listeners today?
I would say it's this. Don't be afraid of pinyin. Embrace it as a friend, a guide, a key to unlocking a whole new world of possibilities.
I love that. It's not just about memorizing sounds, it's about opening yourself up to a new way of seeing and experiencing the world. Now, before we sign off, is there one final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the best way to really solidify all of this knowledge is to just put it into practice. So I encourage you to pick a simple Chinese word or phrase, look up its pinyin, and try saying it aloud. You might be surprised at how empowering it feels to actually produce those sounds and take your first steps on this incredible journey of language learning.
That's a great challenge. And remember, as we've learned today, every journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, or in this case, a single syllable.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe one day you'll be reading Chinese poetry in the original, having conversations with native speakers, or even writing your own beautiful Chinese calligraphy. It all starts with that first step into the world of pinyin.
Well said. On that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into pinyin. We hope you've enjoyed the journey and feel inspired to continue exploring this fascinating world of Mandarin Chinese.
Until next time, happy learning.
And remember, the world is full of amazing things waiting to be discovered, one language at a time. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.